like to do a brief disclaimer before this next episode. My guest is talking about their experience in mental health and talks about themes including suicide and assault. If any of these items are triggering for you, please reach out to the many support services such as Beyond Blue, Lifeline, and of course the Crown of Bush Support Service. Please make sure you take care of yourself. Hello and welcome to a Nurse Out Where podcast. My name is Danielle Causer and I have been a rural and remote nurse for most of my career. I created this podcast as an opportunity to explore and celebrate and perhaps spark some interest in rural and remote nursing. Each week, we will meet with some of the extraordinary nurses who live and work in rural and remote areas across Australia as they tell their story about all that is beautiful and unique to rural and remote nursing. So join with me as we explore the stories from A Nurse Out Where. Hi everyone, welcome to the next episode of A Nurse Out Where. Now, my next guest is 21. She's currently in Brisbane. She's halfway through a grad year and she's doing her mental health. So she's got future plans to go rural and remote and do some critical care. And she says she's passionate about people and passionate about nursing. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, hang on a minute, she's in Brisbane. How does she fit the mould of rural and remote? Well, look, she grew up in Torres Strait. She grew up around nurses and she said she bloody loved it. So I have to agree. But also her mum and dad are both nurses. And when I introduce this next guest, you'll probably recognise her dad particularly. But we're not here to talk about her dad. We're here to talk about you. So welcome, Amy Timmings. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. I'm very, very good. I'm very excited to be here. I feel like it's been such a long time coming. I literally met you back in 2022 and we were so pumped.
We were. Yeah, we've got to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Very honored to be on the podcast.
Oh, look, you're amazing. And I think you've got a lot to offer. We've got a lot to learn from you. So I'm here to suck it all in if I can.
Yeah, that's so nice.
Look, as we kick off, the podcast is called A Nurse Out Where. So from your perspective, can you finish the sentence, I'm a nurse out where?
I guess to finish that sentence, I sometimes feel like I'm a headless chicken. So it sometimes feels like, especially in mental health, I'm a nurse out where I still don't really understand. Like, I guess that's really vague, but to be completely honest, at the moment, mental health where I'm working is it can be quite scary. And yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm a nurse out where I don't really know at the moment. I'm super, super passionate about what I'm doing. And yeah, I guess halfway through my grad year, I'm just so excited to be a nurse. So I think, yeah, it's so great. I still, every now and then when I'm writing that I'm an RN, I get so like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I'm actually an RN.
That's so cool. And that's the beauty of nursing. Really, and the beauty of rural and remote nursing in particular is that you don't have to particularly know where you're headed. And you don't get boxed into a particular area. So yeah, that's really cool that you're just happy to explore and take it day by day.
Awesome. I have so many future plans and so many, there's no area of nursing that I don't want to explore. So I honestly feel like I've just got my whole life to really get into it, and it's so exciting for me. Yeah, definitely keen to get up to some rural and remote stuff eventually though. Yeah, cool.
So where did the interest to do nursing to start with? Where did that come from, and why do you want to go rural and remote?
For those who do know mum and dad, so mum and dad are both nurses. Dad's a very, very talented teacher. He owns a nurse education company and mum fits him perfectly. And they met in nursing school at the Royal Brisbane.
That's cute.
Yes. And so, yeah, I have always grown up around two extremely passionate nurses. And I guess with dad's education company, which I'll plug, ECT for Health, is Yeah, I've literally grown up around nurses. I distinctly remember mum and dad coming home and smelling like a hospital. So every time now when I walk into a hospital, it feels so comforting for me because it feels like home. And that
Oh,
sounds
that just
super
gave me
dramatic.
goosebumps. That's so beautiful.
Oh, that's so lovely. Yeah, no, so I have always just had such a fascination with nurses and with nursing. And a lot of the time I get people say, "Oh, I'm sure that your dad just pushed you into nursing." And it's sort of like, you know what? Mom and dad are the most supportive people. And at one point I was actually going to be a makeup artist,
Yeah.
which changed, obviously. But yeah, so they've always said, do whatever you want to do. But nursing for me has pretty much always been on the cards just because it feels like home. And I'm such a homebody. So feeling close to mom and dad in any way possible is super important to me. And I guess now that I am a nurse, I feel so connected to them in a way that I never really thought that I would. And it's just so cool to like come home and talk about our stories and everything. So yeah, I guess that's how I kind of got into wanting to be a nurse. I guess it's mainly mum and dad, and then just growing up around nurses with the education company and that sort of thing. And obviously everyone watches Grey's Anatomy and decides that's for them. Sorry.
Have
Yeah,
you
and
been watching reruns of Grey's Anatomy?
you know what? I got really into Grey's Anatomy at one point, and then I just all of a sudden stopped watching it when uni got super busy. So I haven't even finished it. I'm only halfway through, like probably up to season 3 or 4. It's actually quite sad. I need to go back and watch it.
Right, no spoiler alerts. And we're not sponsored by Grey's Anatomy either, so,
No, wish. Yeah, but I guess with regards to rural and remote stuff, mom and dad have done a few rural and remote stints. So growing up, dad did a few stints in the Torres Strait. They went for about 3 weeks. And then we as a family went up there when I was in grade 4. And we lived up there for 6 months. So we lived in York Island and in Darnley Island, and I went to school. So I was what would I have been, about 8 years old. I went to school there, and I have an older brother who did homeschooling. And mum and dad were the nurses on the island. So that's just the way it was. So from that, I always felt super, I guess, connected to Indigenous health work through them. I have a lot of passion for Indigenous health and Indigenous people. And I think that, yeah, it's kind of just an area of nursing that not a lot of people want to dip their toe into because it can get messy. But I really like messy, and I kind of like being thrown in the deep end, which it's really random because I come from a background of, pretty poor mental health and anxiety, and a lot of struggles with confidence and that sort of thing, which I still, am working on today. But yeah, I guess, I don't know, I still get that comfort in nursing. So being thrown in the deep end for me is like a bit exciting. And yeah, so the Taurus, I remember it. Obviously, I was a child, so it was definitely very, very challenging. There were a lot of issues up there, and it was really, really, really hard. As a child, you have to grow up super, super quickly in that kind of environment. But I just would not change that for anything. And yeah, ever since I've become a nurse, or even before during my studies, I was like, I'm going to get back there. I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to go rural and remote, and I'm gonna be that person.
And
So,
you will, I'm sure you will. I have absolute confidence that you will get there. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. Hopefully, after my grad year, I probably won't stay in mental health for too long. Hopefully, I would love to get a stint, maybe just like a short 3 week, somewhere remote, rural and remote, kind of dip my toe in, get some different experiences. So.
Yeah, why not? Absolutely. That's, you know, that's the whole joy of being a nurse, is that we can do that and we can experience different roles.
Yeah, absolutely, which is so exciting.
So, you know, we're all bound by confidentiality and our professional standards. But have you got a particular story or a tale to tell about your time working as a nurse that you'd like to share?
I have only been nursing for 6 months, so I definitely feel like a baby all the time. But yeah, I guess there's a lot of crazy things that kind of happen in mental health that when you're in mental health, it's sort of like, oh, whatever, it doesn't really faze you. But when I tell the stories to other people, they're quite shocked by them. Obviously, in mental health, we're surrounded by a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of suicide, a lot of self-harm and that sort of thing. But I guess as a bit more of a positive turn, I remember one shift when I probably was about 3 weeks in. I was working in an acute ward. And I just remember looking after this patient. He had autism, and autism's very close to my home, or very close to home, I should say. And he was in his room, and we had a dining room in the acute ward, but he was quite not really wanting to come out to the dining room because it can be super overstimulating for people. And I remember it's probably really silly, but it was really, really simple. I literally just made him some toast and I brought it to his room because he had a lot of paranoia around there possibly being some poisoning in his food from the kitchen. And so I took him some toast and he ate it, and he hadn't eaten in a couple of days, and that was a really big thing. But I actually remember one of the other nurses saying to me, oh, you shouldn't do that because he'll get used to it and start manipulating you. And from that moment, I was just like, it actually broke my heart. I remember going home and just going, I have no idea what I've gotten myself into, because I was so fresh and new. And I know that there's always going to be challenging people in healthcare. That's our job. We deal with challenging people. But sometimes compassion goes a long way. And so I don't know. I feel like for me, I was really proud of myself because that was a really important thing for me, to actually show compassion. And sometimes I feel like rules and regulations override compassion. And I have a goal of not letting that be my whole practice. I know that rules and regulations are what keep the world go round, but I don't know. I think compassion is definitely a little sprinkle that we all need sometimes.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. You know, like,
that wasn't the best story.
No, we often get lost in the tasks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can see where your colleague was coming from.
Absolutely.
To say that, you know, sometimes you get manipulated and, you know, we all fall into that trap, even in our personal lives. But I do think, you know, a little bit of compassion, a little bit of kindness goes such a long way and makes such a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I completely understand, you know, there are certain people that will try and manipulate you, and you do have to have those really strong boundaries. You've got to be careful of the staff splitting. Like, we're all aware of all of that, but also sometimes you've also got to recognize that this is just a person. Like, this is someone's mom, this is someone's brother, this is someone's someone, and not everyone that comes into hospital has a someone. And I think that that's something that we seem to forget as well. Unfortunately, in mental health, we see a lot of people who don't have anyone. And that is really, really challenging because, we have a form. We have to do risk assessments. And at the bottom, it has this huge section of protective factors, which you're supposed to fill out. Basically all these protective things that are stopping people from doing drugs or hurting themselves or committing suicide. Sometimes there's literally, it's blank because no one has anything that we can go off of that's a protective factor. And that is really, really sad. And it's really, really hard because sometimes you being kind to someone is all that that person has for that day.
Yeah. you've lived in rural and remote. What are some of the things that you might miss when you're out in those areas, or maybe thinking about when, you know, when you finish your grad year and you head off into rural and remote, is there anything that you'll particularly be looking for?
I guess in regards to something that I would miss, I have two beautiful dogs and I'm really connected to my babies, so I probably miss them a lot. Obviously, hospitals are very, very structured, so I'd probably miss a little bit of structure from the hospital, but also my only experience is mental health, which is the most non-structured thing that I've ever done. so I don't know. It would kind of be, I don't know really what I would miss because I don't really know what I would be missing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I can definitely understand that if I had spent a lot of time in a medical ward or a surgical ward where it was, you know, this is pretty much your outline for every day is very, very similar. I would probably miss the structure quite a bit. But I don't know. I think, I really like to be challenged. And so I think that I would really enjoy just not knowing what I was going to get that day. That would be really exciting for me. And I guess in regards to what I would be looking for, I think that if I went rural and remote, I would probably be looking to, in a way, get a little bit of closure from when I left the Taurus as a child. So leaving the Taurus as a child, it was quite a difficult time. We had to go, I ended up having to go to court due to quite a significant sexual assault case, not on me. But I ended up, a lot of unresolved stuff that I'm still dealing with. I ended up with a lot of that sort of stuff, a lot of anxiety, a lot of attachment to my parents. And then I went straight back to a Christian, very, very strict Christian school, which had its challenges on its own. So I was this young girl who had to grow up super, super quickly, go back to this very, very sheltered Christian school and kind of just fit myself back in. And as you can imagine, that did not go very well. and so I guess I would, in a way, really, really love the Indigenous side of Australia. I think that it's such an important thing that all Australians should be in touch with in some way. And so, yeah, I think it would be really important for me, not that I'm Indigenous or have any Indigenous heritage, I think it would be really important for me to go back into an Indigenous community as an adult and experience that as an adult and give back to that community as much as I can, because I wasn't able to give much as a child. And I think that that would be really important for me to be able to give back, because I know how much those sort of communities really need people to actually come and give a shit about them, you know.
And genuinely care.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Look, you're in a particularly unique position that you work in mental health, so it's probably you'd have an acute awareness. But how do you look after your own mental health? Like, how do you deal with what you deal with each day and look after yourself?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have struggled, like I said, with mental health pretty much my whole life, anxiety, depression. I used to be really uncomfortable talking about it, but after a bit working in mental health, you just kind of can talk about anything. I still struggle with anxiety. I'm very, very doubtful of myself. I come home from a shift and criticize everything I did that day, everything I said that day, which is super damaging. But I luckily have absolutely fantastic support. Obviously, I still live at home with mum and dad because I'm a baby. and I absolutely love them to bits. They are the biggest support. I can talk to them about anything. I can come home and just look at them and cry. I can come home and need to scream into a pillow. And they just get it. And I guess one of the biggest things for me is I'm clearly such a talker and have to talk things out. Otherwise they get stuck in my head and I one day just snap and it all just comes out and it's super damaging. I actually don't know a single nurse that doesn't have vicarious trauma, but the vicarious trauma that we get from work is so significant. And it's little things and you don't know when it's going to hit. You don't know, like, you'll have a fine couple of weeks and then all of a sudden it'll all come back and you'll be like, oh my God, I actually can't believe that this happened last Wednesday. So it is really hard. I journal a lot. I have a journal that I do every day. I sometimes like to write notes in my phone. I just jot down like ideas, kind of just jot down all of my crap into my phone. I try not to trauma dump too much on mum and dad because, as I said, vicarious trauma, they don't need any more of that. Like, they've got that covered. So I try not to dump my day too much on them. But if I need to get something off my chest, it's really good to bounce ideas off them. Yeah, I like to, we have a pool. We're very lucky. So I like to go swimming. I've got a wonderful supportive boyfriend. Yeah, I'd guess some days I need to come into my room and just shut myself in and work through it in my head, and other days I'm okay and don't need to talk it out. Some days it's okay and some days it's not. But yeah, does that answer your question?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So look, if someone like yourself might be thinking about going rural and remote, or maybe some advice that you've received thinking about going rural and remote, have you got like your top three tips?
Okay. Yeah. So I have never been rural and remote, obviously, as a nurse or as an adult, really. So I guess from my perspective, I would just recommend people be kind of ready for anything. Don't go into it expecting anything. I think if you're not expecting anything, you can't ever be disappointed. Not that you would ever be disappointed, but don't go into it expecting anything. Go into it with a super open mind. Probably do a little bit of research on the community that you're going into, just so that you can be super, super cautious about Indigenous health, and be super cautious about the different cultures and what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, just because that's going to honestly do you so much more of a service, because you'll feel like you can actually connect with people. I think that's a really, really important thing. Obviously, building that rapport is super important, and so making sure that you kind of have all the tools in order to build that rapport, because it can be difficult if you're not well equipped, I guess. But yeah, take chocolate. Yeah, and wine, don't drink alcohol, but wine is good.
Yeah, wine is good. Like, yeah, that's just the epitome.
Yeah, really. If there's not a bottle shop, you should not go. No, I'm kidding. But also, yeah. Yeah, I think that's yeah, I think that would be my advice. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Look, Amy, I've really appreciated you giving the time, and I'm sorry that it's taken years for us to actually finally connect and get to this point. But I'd love to talk to you again after you do some, like, you finish your grad year and you head out and do a little bit of rural and remote, and then share your experience as an adult. That would be really cool.
Absolutely.
And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, the opportunities within nursing and how can we mix in makeup artistry? And then I suddenly realized, why don't you do education and do simulation? Like, you know, you could add wounds to people and do all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Who knows where the future will take.
I know, it's all very exciting. I actually would really love to do some education maybe one day. I get super excited when I have nursing students, because I had some experience as a nursing student, and I try and make it the best day for them. Like, that's super important to me. So maybe I'd love to do some clinical facilitating one day. That would be really cool.
And there is that education in your family bloodline, I hear.
I know. I will never be dad. He is a wizard with his brain, but really? Maybe I will get close. Maybe.
Well, very cool. Thank you for your time. And we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
If this has sparked your interest and you'd like some more information about this episode or perhaps how to take the leap and explore rural and remote nursing, you can contact me and check out my website, anurseoutwear.com.au, or follow me on Facebook and Instagram by searching for A Nurse Outwear. Remember, like, subscribe and share them with your friends.